This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. In Florida, the hurricanes have subsided, but the election storm is churning at full speed. Early voting in the state started today. Already, there are lawsuits over alleged voter registration discrepancies. Florida was an extremely close contest last time, as we're sure you recall. It's likely to be close this time as well for the state's 27 electoral votes and possibly the presidency. Day to Day's Eric Weiner's gone from one end of Florida to the other, looking for the state behind the swing. He's going to bring you his findings this week, beginning today in the tropical heart of the Sunshine State, Miami.
It's been said that Florida is where you move when you're too crazy for California. That might be true. I recently moved to Florida from California, and I fit right in, not because I'm crazy, but because I'm a transplant. People move to Florida for all kinds of reasons. They might be running away from something, a bad marriage, a foreign despot, an Arctic winter, or they might be running to something, a new job, a condo with an ocean view, a fresh start. Everyone brings their politics with them, and that helps explain why there isn't one Florida, but at least three or four Floridas. Cuban-American Florida is thriving, politically potent, and traditionally Republican. It's centered in Miami's Little Havana neighborhood, my first stop. You can feel the Cuban presence in Miami as soon as you turn on your car radio.
So I'm just coming up on the Versailles Cafe here in Miami's Little Havana. It's a popular hangout for Cuban Americans. It's where all the political gossip is traded. And I'll be having lunch with Joe Garcia, who's a leader of the Cuban American community.
People sit here all day long, just arguing and talking politics.
Garcia has a bushy head of salt and pepper hair and a trace, just a trace, of an accent. He can't travel to Cuba. Castro considers him an enemy of the state, so the Versailles Cafe is the next best thing. In fact, close your eyes and you could be in Havana. There's the smell of high-octane Cuban coffee, so strong it makes that grande latte from Starbucks seem like water. And then there's the sound of political banter, not just idle chit-chat, explains Garcia, but a way of life.
My grandfather used to do it until he died. He lived six blocks from a local supermarket / drugstore, Cuban. And he would get on his tricycle. He could no longer drive. He'd drive six blocks. He'd go there. He'd argue for 3 hours in the morning, like if it was his job. He'd get back on the bike, drive home, have a nice big lunch, drive back.
Garcia doesn't have quite so much time on his hands, but he has inherited his grandfather's gregarious ways. Our lunch is constantly interrupted as one person after another stops by to say hello. Garcia quickly and seamlessly switches to Spanish, the lingua franca at the Versailles Cafe, and in fact, in much of Miami.
There are people who are millionaires in this city and came here 45 years ago and don't speak a word, a lick of English. Because to some degree, there's almost a parallel society that formed here.
That parallel society votes in large numbers and traditionally Republican. There's little doubt that President Bush will win the Cuban-American vote in November, but the question is, by how much? A few here, like Joe Garcia, say the president has not been tough enough on Fidel Castro.
George Bush says everything I want to hear on Cuba, and he does nothing. He's the Liberace of Cuba policy. It's all the lights, the glamour, and the sound. It's all good. But when it's over, it was all lights and sound. This isn't Beethoven. This isn't Mozart. We've lost ground in terms of promoting Cuba's liberty.
I'm next heading to Miami Beach, where you hear a lot less Spanish spoken and a lot less of the Cuban music. You're more likely to hear this on the radio.
You gotta fight for your right to run.
Or this.
With Dr. Baraja's mini abdominoplasty and mini facelift, designed for those who work or don't have much spare time.
Miami Beach is the plastic surgery capital of the free world, and possibly the non-free world as well. Here, the question on everyone's mind isn't Bush or Kerry, but real or fake? The hippest part of Miami Beach is South Beach, home of Art Deco architecture, the famous low-carb diet, and a string of bars, gay and straight, that do a booming business, even on a Tuesday afternoon.
So here's a place called the Tropical Cafe, and in front of the restaurant is a woman who's, gyrating, I imagine, in order to entice customers.
Okay, but how do people in this traditionally Democratic part of Miami feel about the upcoming election? I asked this man.
I'm gonna give you a clue. Don't do that. I am drunk.
Oh, okay.
I was able to find two people sober enough to engage in conversation. Sam Thompson and his friend Toussaint Libertaire, a lawyer and an investment banker, playing hooky from work. They moved to Miami Beach 10 years ago, drawn to the city's anything-goes ethos.
You're sitting here, you're looking at it. The weather, the trees, the openness about it, the people, some other things that walk down the street.
The beach is not a representation of Florida. It's not. The beach is a lot more relaxed, tolerant, embracing.
But don't be fooled by the Jimmy Buffett vibe. People on the beach do vote. Sam Thompson says he's more fired up about politics these days than he has been in a long, long time.
The last time I got politically active was when I think it was Mondale was running against Reagan. I was in college at the time. I mean, that was like in the 80s.
So what is it about this election?
You know, I mean, 9/11 happened. That's what it's all about. 9/11 happened. And everybody woke up and says, wait a minute. What the hell are we doing? What's going on?
Thompson is no fan of President Bush. He believes the war in Iraq was a mistake, and like most African Americans, he'll be voting for John Kerry. But Thompson is a reluctant Democrat, peeved at a party that he says takes the African American vote for granted.
I think Democrats have gotten so complacent in their views of the African American vote that they can almost say, you know what? Forget about that. We got that.
Thompson's friend jumps in and adds that African Americans could learn a thing or two from the Cubans of Miami. Namely, if you want your voice heard, you need to speak up. The conversation's just getting interesting when a young woman wearing an alleged bikini walks by, and as inevitably happens in Miami, politics returns to its proper place, somewhere after beach and sun and happy hour. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner in Miami.
Tomorrow, onward, Eric looks for voters on Florida's retirement coast.